I'm David Schreiner-Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Chris Ronzio. Chris built a video production company that sold over $3 million in youth sporting event videos before he was 25. It was then that he decided to sell that business and start doing what he really loved, helping other entrepreneurs organize the chaos in their own businesses. It was the problem solving of small business he was truly addicted to, and thus organized chaos was born. What started as a personal consulting style and methodology quickly garnered praise from the Arizona business community and beyond. Organized Chaos today, with Chris at the helm, is a team of entrepreneurs, consultants, investors, advisors, and experts in their respective fields whose mission it is to help simplify businesses so they can grow. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
So what is it you find hardest for businesses with under 100 employees to achieve?
So we've worked with a lot of businesses, and most are under 100 employees. That's our sweet spot. And across the board, everyone that we talk to has what I call opportunity overload. So I think there's no specific challenge, no technology or specific problem that everyone across the board is trying to solve. But the one consistency is that everyone has too many problems to solve at once. And trying to prioritize what to work on, what to focus on with their teams, that's where they really struggle.
Thus the chaos. So it sounds to me like it's not just prioritizing, but you know, we all know that we can all make more money, but we can't make more time. So part of what I'm hearing and what you're saying is entrepreneurs need to have the ability to say no.
Absolutely. Burn the bridge, throw away all the ideas. It's funny, a few months ago, I actually canceled about 50 domain names, because I'm sure other people have done this too, but you get a crazy idea in the middle of the night and you register a domain name and you think it's going to be the next billion-dollar thing, but then it just sits there. And if you don't do anything with it, you almost have this background sense of guilt about it. So I just canceled a bunch of domain names to let them go, and it felt pretty good.
That's a great example. What are some other examples of situations you've seen where entrepreneurs have said no and been very proactive about it?
I think one example you hear pretty often is when companies decide to niche down. So I'll give you my own example from my video production company. A lot of video companies out there that I've come across will do anything video related. They'll do weddings and bar mitzvahs and commercials and corporate videos and you name it, whatever someone will pay them for. And when I first started the company, we were no different. But when we really saw success is when we decided to focus solely on youth sporting events. The amateur event market was something that, you know, maybe a videographer would shoot a competition or a game, a championship game, you know, when the season came around, and then the rest of the year they would busy themselves with other things. By focusing just on sports and just on those events, we were able to build a much more scalable business. So I think niching down is one thing that takes saying a lot of no.
With that in mind, can you niche to start, as opposed to starting something like, we'll shoot any kind of videos that anybody will pay us for, seeing where there's traction, and then deciding to focus on the niche? Can you actually start on the niche right from the beginning?
I think you could, but part of understanding what the biggest opportunity is experimenting a little. And so I think for someone to really narrow down out of the gates, they would have to have experience through some other job or company where they saw that opportunity and they decided to capitalize on it. But often if you're starting as an entrepreneur, you're starting a little more broadly and then trying to narrow down your focus as you find what's successful.
Mm. So talk to me a little bit about your particular methodology, because it sounds like you've come up with a kind of a template or formula, or maybe some basic tips that can really help entrepreneurs in this small business space when they have this overwhelm of opportunity and they're trying to go through this process of narrowing their focus.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I sold my last company, I was no different. I knew I wanted to get into consulting and operations consulting, but I was getting asked to help with everything across the board. And it took a little trial and error and a little experience before I developed this process. But after working with a few dozen companies, it started to take shape. And so the way that we work with a new business when we first start off is a process I call the three C's: context, chaos, and clarity. So it starts with context. Every company that we work with, no matter the industry, the size, the person, there's some context of why they started doing what they're doing, how they do what they do, and what they want out of it. So I've worked with companies that, you know, they're starting a business and their goal one day is to purchase an island. And I've worked with other companies that they would be very happy with working 5 hours a week and having a nice little cabin and just taking it easy with their family. And that context of what they want out of the business creates some dramatic differences about how we would execute what needs to be done. So it always starts with the context. So to dig in a little deeper there, when we spend time with someone, we first look at kind of a year in review of what's worked in the past, what they want to celebrate the wins. And then we go through their goals of where they're trying to get to, you know, 10 years out, 5 years out, 3 years out, next year, what would be a positive improvement? And from there, we go through their business process and understand all the areas that they have top of mind that they want to change. And really what that's doing is it's understanding what the successful outcome of the engagement would be. What's the context for the project? What's the context for their business? So that's the first piece. The next piece is chaos. So this one's the fun one. Every business has chaos, and I don't think anyone would pretend that they didn't. If there's no chaos, there's probably nothing exciting happening. So,
and maybe no profit.
Yeah, exactly. And profit and activity and people and all of that creates chaos. So it's not about avoiding chaos. It's about having a system to process it and to make progress from it. So the way we handle chaos is, first, we work with the business owners or the leaders, and we go through hundreds of questions to jog topics and just get all the ideas, issues, and inefficiencies out of their mind. That's where we start. From there, we're getting more context, but we're also getting some action items of things that need to be fixed. Then we go through and work with the employees. So employees of a business are full of great ideas, and they're full of opportunities that they don't always express. Based on the type of person, you know, maybe they don't want to go to their boss and complain about something, but given the opportunity, they could provide some amazing feedback that can have a difference in the business. So when we work with employees, we do it in a confidential way, almost like that show Undercover Boss. Have you ever seen that on CBS, I think it is?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Okay, so you know the premise of the show is, you know, CEOs of these billion-dollar companies that go undercover in their businesses. And as an owner or a leader of a company with under 100 employees, you don't have that luxury. So you can't really go undercover in your own business without the bias of an employee trying to tell you what you want to hear.
Right. So and the bottom line is employees are reluctant to tell the boss the truth.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of truths, and the chaos can be everything from, you know, a shift in a business model or a system that they used at their last job or some communication gap that they've realized, or it could be that their computer monitor is broken and or their chair is broken, and, you know, the little things that just get in the way of the day to day. And so we capture all of that, and that's where we have a lot of fun, is building that huge list. So then the third part of the process is clarity. And that's what I think a lot of entrepreneurs are after. You've got this opportunity overload, and you know that if you could just show up to work with a clear mind and a clear focus, you can get amazing things done. But if your projects on your desk are all competing for your time, it's really hard to make progress. So that's what we do with the last part of the process is, with all of that chaos, with those hundreds of potential action items, what can we group together? What can we, you know, which things lead to other things? It's kind of like cleaning out a garage or a closet, and you take out all that crap that was hiding on every shelf, and you figure out, okay, we can stack these bowls, and we can put all this stuff in this Tupperware, and then when you put it back, it looks a lot neater.
It sounds also like taking apart the elements of a puzzle and then putting them together in a way that fits much better.
Absolutely.
So what kinds of results have you seen from companies that have gone through this process?
The results are all over the board. And again, it depends on the context of why we were engaged. So the results for some entrepreneur might be that they are at the office far less than they used to be. We've worked with companies that the founder is spending 70, 80 hours a week in the office. And what they'd really like to do is be able to take their kids to a matinee movie on a weekday or take a few weeks off in the summer and rent a beach house. And so in some cases, just that time is the result that they're after. And we've seen that over and over. In other cases, capacity is the issue. So a lot of what we're doing is operations focused, and it's figuring out how can their business run in a smoother way? How can it be easier? Why is it so hard to run this business? And so for some people, we're opening up 30, 50, 75% additional capacity just by fixing a few issues in their company. So extra capacity leads to extra profit, leads to extra sales. We're not a sales and marketing group, but a lot of times that's the result of what we do.
Chris, for business owners that maybe experience the emotional struggle that's associated with this chaos, very often they've tried to solve the problem either on their own, or they may have hired somebody from the outside to help, like a coach or a consultant, and it still hasn't solved the problem. What would you recommend for business owners that aren't really sure either what questions to ask themselves, or maybe where to look for help, or what questions to ask somebody who can potentially help? And when is it appropriate to look for a coach? When is it appropriate to look for a consultant? When is it appropriate to go to a peer support group for help? What are your thoughts about all this?
I think there's so many ways that you can get help. And so it really starts with the person and where they're at. If they are growth-minded and growth-oriented and they're looking to learn and they have that thirst for knowledge, that's the first step. So I think any one of your listeners probably already has that if they're tuning in and trying to listen to get some tips from this. So assuming that's checked, then you've got to think, okay, do I have the time to sit and read 10 books on a subject and learn everything I need from that? Or do I want to skip a few steps and accelerate that timeline and hire someone that's been there and done that? And then if you decide whether you're going the do-it-yourself route or working with someone else, then it comes down to what you actually need done. Do you need strategy? Do you need someone else to open your eyes to a new way of doing things that's already done it? Or do you need actual tactical help in getting work done? And I think those decisions will dictate the type of resource that you hire. So I've done all of the above. I've, you know, when I was first getting started or, you know, I'm about to head out for the summer for 6 weeks away with my family, I do a lot of reading and learning and just self-guided work during that time. During the busy season when, you know, toward the end of the year, we're doing a lot of strategic planning, I don't have the time or the luxury to read a lot of books. Maybe I'll do a online course to learn something new, or maybe I'll work with a coach and do a full day session with them to open my mind to what I want to accomplish in the next year. So I think it's there's no perfect answer. It's just depending on what they want to get done and how much time they have to do it.
What kinds of differences do you see in terms of solutions between coaching and peer support groups?
So I think, you know, I belong to peer support groups. I've been in many of them in the past, masterminds, and, you know, I swear by it. The value of being in a group like that is that you're getting experience shares from a variety of people on a variety of topics, and then you get accountability of, you know, when you meet with the same group month after month, if you say you're going to do something, you don't want that person to look down on you because you didn't do it. So it's like having a board of advisors. So masterminds are phenomenal. I think when you hire a coach, you'll get that same sort of accountability, but you're relying on them more to guide you and tell you what to do, as opposed to just asking clarifying questions and helping you work through the problem on your own.
And you and I have spoken about how when you're going through this process of trying to trying to eliminate some of the chaos and try to organize what's going on in your business, that a big part of the issue has to do with execution. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. Execution is where everyone struggles. So, you know, I mentioned our process, context, chaos, clarity. Well, after we deliver a clear plan, execution is where our clients either exceed or struggle. And the difference is, you know, do you have the resources in-house to dedicate to your own internal projects? You know, a lot of people, you've heard the cobbler's shoes, you know, you don't give yourself the same attention that you give your clients. Now, I've worked with web development companies and agencies that build websites and yet their own website says coming soon. And I think it's a funny example, but we all do that. And so you've got to be honest with yourself. And do you have the internal resources to dedicate to making your business better as if you're your own client? Or do you need to make the commitment to bringing in some outside support to ensure that that happens? And I think that's the decision clients have to make and companies have to make. Execution is really just about discipline and accountability and having the right resources. So if you can check those three boxes, things get done.
Okay. And how do systems play into the equation?
So systems are important to execution because they make it easier. If you have a system that automates a lot of your process, then you have a lot more time to do the manual things and thinking through the next move in our business, the next market to go to, the next product to create. You can't automate that. That just takes work. So the more you can automate the service delivery or the day-to-day of your company, the more time you have for that. So first and foremost, systems just help make your business easier. And then you can also use systems for holding yourself accountable. We actually developed a accountability tool for weekly management meetings. It's called WeCountable, and it's all about holding your leaders accountable for what they say they're going to do, their commitments week to week. And so a system that's as simple as a thumbs up and thumbs down on what I say I'm going to do on a Monday in front of my group makes a big difference in things actually getting done.
Yeah, a lot of business owners struggle with trying to find the right kinds of systems, particularly when it comes to automating something. There's a lot of resources that are available. And if you're not familiar with the marketplace and you're not familiar with all those off-the-shelf resources, it can be pretty hard to find something that will be the best solution for what you need to automate a process. What are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't go shopping for clothes that often and you walk into a department store, you're paralyzed. You don't know where to go. And so that's why they have personal shoppers. Online tools are growing exponentially. And because development has gotten so much easier than it used to be, there's a tool for everything online. And that is almost more overwhelming than when there were fewer choices. It's funny, I don't know if you do your own grocery shopping, but I think there's 20 different kinds of Cheerios now, and it makes deciding on a box of Cheerios pretty difficult. So, it's the same thing. If you're looking for a project management system and you see a new one every time you open up Facebook, how do you know what the right option is? So that's a service we provide to companies that we work with where, you know, again, it starts with the context. What are you trying to accomplish with the system? Let's map out that process. Let's build your requirements. And then we'll figure out, is there something out there off the shelf that does this perfectly? And if so, let's get it set up. If not, maybe we can build it.
Yeah, I think sometimes people overlook the option of building it and think that it's way too complicated and way too costly.
Yeah, I think there's a stigma to investing in software where people have gotten burned in the past. And if you go back 10, 15 years, you could have spent $1 million trying to develop your own software and get nowhere. And a lot of people have made those mistakes. You know, now software development is ubiquitous. It's so accessible. There's developers all over the world. The world's getting smaller. And if you've got a good plan going into a project to know exactly what you need to build, you can build something for relatively inexpensive. You know, the companies that we end up building custom software for are the ones that are big enough that a small improvement in their efficiency is the equivalent of of two people, or increases their capacity by 25 or 30%. So the return on investment for developing something has to be extraordinary, or it's a waste of time and money. But if the right circumstance is there, then it's a great option.
That's very true. Chris, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I have a friend locally here in Arizona. His name's Mike Arce. Do you know him?
No, I don't.
So Mike was a client of mine a few years ago, and he has a business that's a lead generation service. And I talk about, you know, narrowing your business down. Initially, they were just like any other agency that generated leads. And I think they even did websites. But as the business grew, they focused. And now all they work with is fitness studios and even a subset of fitness studios that are I believe, like yoga and things like that. So his business has gotten so narrowly focused, and just in doing that, they've smashed so many ceilings. You know, they're growing at 600%. So he's an exciting example that comes top of mind.
That's a great example. And what's in the future for you? What are you working on now?
So we've got a lot of things going. The first is I wrote a book a couple years ago called 100 Hacks to Make Your Business and Life Easier. It's on Amazon and it's free on my website. But we've updated that to create what we call the Simple Six. And of the hundreds of companies we've worked with, there's kind of six areas of business, you know, the people side, the finance side, the leadership side, things that every business works through. And we put our favorite recommendations into that. So that's something we're starting to put more energy into, and anyone could find that on our website. It's just a free 6-part email course.
Sounds great. So Chris, how can listeners get access to that, learn more about you and follow you?
They can go to organizechaos.com. Or find me on any social media, Chris Ronzio, R-O-N-Z-I-O. So it's, again, organized chaos. No D. It's not organized chaos, the noun. It's organized, the verb, because that's what we do.
Sounds great. Well, Chris, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Chris Ronzio, the founder and CEO of Organized Chaos. Thanks again, Chris, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.